As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Good morning, Napa. This is Tia Butts, and I'm joined by...
This is Greg Cole.
And good morning, it's Kara May. Good morning, Napa.
Good morning, everybody. And this is Farmers Fresh Hour. We are the Napa Farmers Market, and we're here to take you behind the scenes with the vendors, the people, the food, and everything that's happening here at our local market. We are sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We would love to thank them for making this show possible. And Kara May, do you know why the turkey crossed the road?
No.
To prove that it wasn't a chicken. Okay, sorry, the bad
jokes are back.
I couldn't help myself.
The jokes are back.
Well, we're doing those jokes because this is a show all about Thanksgiving, and no Thanksgiving is complete without poultry and pie. Of course, Thanksgiving's coming up November 22nd.
That's right. We'll be here right around the corner.
That's right. So our guests today include Jess Escoop. I feel like that's like the best name ever because she is with A4 Farms pasture-raised chicken.
So, the best chicken.
Yes, the
Hands
best chicken.
Down.
Yeah, absolutely. And chicken parts too, which I think we'll
sounds gross,
into.
But it's delicious.
Yes. Right?
I love chicken. I love chicken parts.
Chicken parts. I'm glad Bok Bok's not here.
Yes, Bok Bok's taking a break. Bok Bok has been around the last few weeks with Give Guide Goes to the Market, with the Haunted Market and Food Days. She is taking a well-deserved chicken nap.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been very uncomfortable in the studio for this show
because
her here.
Jess would have been eyeing her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just with that kind of.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be very tasty, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
She's cute, but.
She's got a lot of stuffing.
Yeah. Her stuffing is.
Boom.
Ding.
Oh, but also joining us today will be Chef Albert Rivera, the owner of Sweet Pea Bake Shop. And you must know a little bit about Albert.
Yeah, Albert's a great guy. He's been a cook. He's graduated of the Culinary Institute of America up in Greystone, cooked in the Bay Area. He's up in Napa or in Napa. He worked at the Napa Valley Country Club and also as the head chef at the fantastic Boonfly Cafe.
Oh, wow.
And Boonfly actually on their Boonfly Benedict, which is what I always have. I have a weakness for that.
Yes.
They use the Sweet Pea Bakery English muffins on
those.
So if you've had the Boonfly Benedict and you thought that was a great English muffin, it's from Sweet Pea. So.
I am a Benedict connoisseur, and the reason I love the Boonfly Benedict so much is because of the jalapeno Hollandaise.
It
has
that little bit of
spice. It's so good. I mean, I could drink that by the gallon. I try not to.
It's probably better not
to. Probably better for me.
Yeah, they recently changed the ham, and I'm not a fan of their change, but that's the way things change. So they used to use the Caggiano ham, and it was kind of the thick-cut country ham, and they're now using a thinner sliced honey glazed ham, and it's still delicious, but I like the Caggiano ham. But anyway, Albert, that wasn't Albert's decision, so we won't pile in on him for that.
Well, I know him because, first of all, he's super nice, and second of all, he has such delicious pastries at the Napa Farmers Market.
And Albert and his wife, Zacklyn, have done a couple demos. They did a demo this year. They did a demo last year. And really great people, young couple, and they've got, about a three-year-old or a four-year-old at this point. And just starting out on their own, you know, they both have worked in commercial professional kitchens for a long time and are now starting their own little process in this Sweet Pea Bake Shop. They've delicious stuff.
Right. And they're starting a brick and mortar, space. So lots of exciting news coming.
Ooh, that is exciting. Yeah. I saw something about that on Facebook. So, I think it's opening soon.
I think so.
So maybe we'll get a scoop.
Maybe we'll get a info. We get all the scoops here.
Yeah, we do get all the scoops. scoops of stuffing, scoops of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, you name it. We get all the scoops. And then, of course, later, Cara Mae, you're going to tell us more about how people can support the Market Match program through the Give Guide.
We'll talk a lot more about our fundraising campaign to raise money for our CalFresh Market Match program. And what we're doing is we are supported by the Napa Valley Give Guide. So the Farmers Market is in the Napa Valley Give Guide this year. And we're raising money for the CalFresh Market Match program. And when you donate at nvgiveguide.org, 100% of your donation will go to double CalFresh dollars that low-income families can spend on nutritious produce at our market. So it is a fantastic program. We have a lot of regular customers that come every Tuesday and Saturday to get nutritious and healthy food. So the update currently is we currently have raised $440 from 6 donors. And
Woo-hoo!
So folks, yeah, thank you
Yay,
very much,
donors,
everybody.
Thank you.
We have 54 days until the end of December. So the campaign is running from until December 31st. So again, folks can go to nvgiveguide.org and they'll actually see a plethora of wonderful local nonprofits that they can support starting at $10 minimum donation. We hope you'll look for the farmers market and know
yes.
that we're raising money for low-income families to eat healthy food from the farmers market. But they can see a lot of different things going on. And we had a great event on Saturday. It was Give Guide Goes to the Market, if folks were
Fantastic.
Able to come out.
It was
out.
So fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. Sorry I missed it. Yeah. It sounds like it was a great turnout.
Yeah, we had over 20 local nonprofits that came out from the Give Guide. And our customers could participate in the raffle prize challenge, which was if they went around and got signatures from all of the nonprofits, they were entered into win a fabulous raffle prize. And Diane Slade came and picked up her raffle prize, which was a market bag filled with produce and 10 market bucks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What an awesome gift. So,
and she was so wonderful. She said that, well, this is a double win because I learned so much about the nonprofits.
That's perfect.
Very sweet.
Mission accomplished.
That's right. And we had a double contest going. So if folks wanted to enter the raffle, they had to get all of the signatures. But if they wanted to just vote for their favorite nonprofit, they could turn in their passport with signatures for the nonprofit of their choice. And the winner of the most popular or best represented nonprofit was News, Domestic Violence and
awesome.
Sexual Abuse Services. Their staff was very happy to be there, did a great job engaging with folks. And we've talked about News before on the show, and it's a wonderful partnership they have with us that they're actually able to get some of the fresh produce that is donated on Tuesdays to support their clients.
Right.
They were all worthy causes, and we wish they could all win. But what their prize was an extra $100 donation from CanDo to get their fundraising campaign started.
Well, that's great.
Fantastic.
We had a great cooking demonstration too this last Saturday. Rob Merrick, who is a PG&E employee who sets up emergency kitchens when PG&E crews are out, and so he did a great demo. He brought his cookbook. He sold over a dozen books.
That's great.
Yeah, we sold a new record for the most books sold. But he just did a great, fantastic demo. And then with all the different news booths set up around us, I thought they were cheating a little bit. But Napa Wildlife Rescue had a possum.
That's right.
They had the
they
most
did.
Adorable possum. And you know, I've only ever seen possums up close when I don't want to see them. And I'm
right.
Kinda,
they look frightening
This is the cutest, most adorable, docile little – and it was like its fur is washed. And I kept looking because I could see it from the culinary stage looking across the parking lot. I'm going, what is that?
Right. Yeah. They also brought some kind of
a red shoulder hawk, I think. I think it was a red shoulder hawk. Yeah. No, it was amazing. So that was they pulled out all the stops
to
get the possum and the hawk there.
The chef was amazing because normally I'm so busy running around the market that I don't have time to enjoy the chef demo. But I smelled his garlic, and that caught my attention. So it was a wonderful recipe.
Which is perfect around Halloween because, you know, we don't need any vampires
that's
saying
right.
around
that's
too close.
Right.
You know, and I'm a trained chef, and when he threw that garlic in that pan, I thought, that's way too much garlic. And I guess it worked out okay, but it smelled so it was like you were at the garlic festival.
Yes.
I mean, the smell of sauteing garlic and olive oil wafting across the, mm-hmm. the market, it was just incredible.
Yeah.
So
it made its way all the way over to the education station and the info booth, and everyone's kind of looked over.
Worked its way around. Yeah, no, he did a nice demo, but it was great. I love – GiveGuide is one of my favorite markets because there's so much activity and there's, you know, all the non-profits are there.
Yes.
And it's just a great sort of energy on the market, you know, the community that we help try to build every week. It's sort of on overdrive there when the Give Guide goes to the market. It's a great event. So
I love it. Well, I just heard from Jess. She's on her way. She's almost here, but she's running a little bit behind. So
she's probably in film festival traffic.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But so while we're waiting for her, and since we're talking Give Guide, where can people go to donate to our cause?
Oh, sure. Well, the easiest place to go is actually nvgiveguide.org. And again, you can find the Napa Farmers Market. And actually, we're going to be the featured nonprofit on the Small Business Saturday, which is going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And
perfect.
They folks will have a chance to win one of our fabulous prizes that we donated. It's actually a market bag, some market merchandise, I believe a hat. And it's one of the nice market bags. It's the canvas bag.
Ooh.
With the black bottom and the Napa Farmers Market logo. It was actually, it's a very special, it's a vintage item now because it was the last canvas bag that we had. So we snatched that up for our Give Guide donor.
It's priceless.
It is priceless. Exactly. That's worth a hefty donation,
that's
I
right.
think.
Yeah. And also they can check out our website. If you go to NapaFarmersMarket.org, we have a Give Guide section right on the homepage. So that also has a little bit more information about our CalFresh Market Match program, and it talks about why this is important because, you know, food insecurity is an important issue, and when people don't have enough food to eat, one of the surveys that was recently taken of folks that either need CalFresh or other kind of food assistance, they said that the thing that would help them eat what they needed to or wanted to was more money. And so this is a way to put more money into people's pockets to buy not just food, but fresh local food from our farmers.
Exactly. We're going to double their money.
That's right.
Which is awesome.
It's double the fun.
All right. So we now have Jess, but we're going to take a quick break just to reset here and get ready. But when we come back, we'll be asking the age-old question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So stay tuned.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
All right, welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour. We are now joined in studio by Jess Escoop, the owner of A-Form's Pasture Raised Chicken. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. No. So please tell us, I know you're fifth generation, is that right?
Correct.
Wow. Fifth generation, Sonoma County farmers, ranchers. Tell us your history.
Yes. So my family settled in the small town of Fulton in the mid-1800s in covered wagons. They came from the Midwest.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And started farming there in kind of the whole town. Long story short, speeding ahead a few generations, we've ranched beef cattle on our home ranch for many years, and me and my husband and kids decided that we would expand to diversify and got into raising pasture-raised broilers, which are specifically meat chickens.
Wow. That's
delicious meat chickens.
Delicious. Thank you. Absolutely. And so how many years has that been that you've been doing chickens?
We've been raising pasture-raised broilers for about 4 years now, a little over. First starting out selling directly to wholesale and then moving into the direct-to-consumer farmers markets in particular.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you are doing both fresh and frozen chickens year-round, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what it's like to raise meat chickens. Like, what breeds do you have?
So we raise the traditional Cornish cross meat chicken. It's what the American consumer is used to. It produces the traditional white-breasted chicken with your rations of dark meat as well. And there are other breeds available, and we've tried dabbling in them a bit. However, they tend to be slightly more tough, and the texture of the meat is just not, again, what the American consumer is used to.
Yes.
So we raise the traditional Cornish cross. We raise them out until 6 to 7 weeks of age. Then they're harvested, and that produces typically about a 3.5-pound chicken, roast chicken for the consumer to cook however they feel they like to prepare it. We also raise Cornish game hens, which is a young version of the Cornish cross chicken. It has to be less than 5 weeks old and under 2 pounds. Very popular at the holidays now,
yes,
this time of year through the New Year's.
It's like a perfect little meal for one.
Correct.
Cornish
and it looks very fancy on the plate. People, we sell a lot of them for New Year's or Christmas because people like to, you know, they like to have a nice meal, yeah, with their guests and
class
serve
it up.
Them something. Exactly. That looks very classy.
It's always had one of those sort of sophisticated things, sounds to it. What are you having for dinner? Oh, we're having Cornish game hens.
It's, yeah, it's correct. Just the,
yeah,
name itself.
It's just as, yeah, it's like a little highfalutin. I just, mm-hmm, I like saying it.
It's like, oh, pull out the fine china.
That's right. Right.
And people who make the turduckins, where they take the
sorry,
they stuff a turkey with a chicken, and then inside of the chicken they put a Cornish game hen. So it's really mandatory for a good turducken recipe to have that Cornish game hen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they're, wow, very fun. We raise a variety of sizes of chickens as well. We do a lot of 2 to 3 pounders and then 3 to 4 pound birds. And yeah, that's kind of our product line. We do all whole chickens currently. And just so all the consumers know, whole chicken is the most economical way to purchase chicken. You get the most bang for your buck, if you will, by buying a whole bird.
Or bang for your buck.
Oh, that bump.
Nice.
There we go.
The,
yeah,
jokes are back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get the most variety of parts. So you can kind of feed everyone in your family, whoever likes white meat versus dark meat, wings, thighs, etc.
Okay, that leads me to another question. How do you get white and dark meat in a chicken? Like, explain why that happens.
Yeah, it's pretty much the tissue makeup. So you get darker meat on the parts where the bird is using those muscles more. Therefore, your legs and thighs are going to be always dark meat. And then, of course, your breast meat, because the chicken is pretty much putting all of its nutrients and weight gain into those breasts, that's where you're getting the white meat. It's not really working that hard as far as a muscle part when our birds are out roaming in the pasture. So their main muscle group that's working are those legs and thighs, and that creates the darker meat.
Oh, interesting.
So how long do they get to roam? They are pasture raised, as you just said. And so, you know, what are they eating out there, and how many acres do they have, and how's that work?
Correct. So here's their lifespan in a nutshell. I get them at day one in a box. They're mailed to me and they're packed very gently and safely. So the little baby chicks are 1 day old. I pick them up and immediately put them into a warm brooder, which is basically a chicken brooder is an enclosed structure that has heat, because chicks need to be at least 90 degrees for the first week. They thrive in those hot temperatures. And then slowly until week three, you can gradually decrease their temperature. At 3 weeks of age, I move them out onto the pasture. Occasionally in the winter when it's frosty and cold, we keep them in a bit longer. But traditionally, 3 weeks, we move them out onto the pasture. And
are they starting to look like adolescents at that point?
Yeah, they kind of go through an awkward teenage phase of a few feathers and some naked so pleasant.
Ugly teenagers.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's not just this dinosaur phase that they go through. They're little pterodactyls for a while, and then they come back to being fluffy chickens.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. You're exactly right. They're extremely awkward looking. My mom calls it the ugly phase.
Okay.
Like, nobody wants to see chickens looking like that. No. So, yeah, they basically lose their chick down feather and then become naked for a bit while those adult feathers are growing in. And so then they're out on the pasture. After 3 weeks, they live in a large hoop house, which they can go outside all day long.
Do they hula hoop there?
They could.
I was like, Kara May could probably come over and like do a little hooping with them.
Chicken-sized hula hoops, that's the thing.
We do need a good chicken trainer, so... and then they roam out there eating. They're in a field that's planted with a little bit of ryegrass, red oak, clovers, mustard, and, of course, bugs. They also dig holes in the dirt because they like to dust themselves, and that's how they keep themselves free of bugs also. And they come in at night. That's how we keep our predator issues down. We lock them in their hoop house at night. And then as soon as the sun comes up or a bit earlier, they go out and start feeding in the pasture. They're also fed a traditional broiler diet. Broilers are a little bit different than, say, egg-laying hens. They do need a grain-based high-protein, high-fat diet to sustain and gain weight.
Interesting.
What are their favorite insects when they're out there in the yard and one of them finds like a scorpion? Do the rest of them like chase it around and the one's going, I got the scorpion?
No, you know what I think really it is? It's crawling bugs and flies.
Yeah.
Should say flying insects. And they watch them with their heads, like turning their heads so diligently, watching where it goes until that perfect moment to peck it and gather it.
When we had home chickens. Yeah, we had home chickens at one point, and they loved the roly-polies.
Roly-polies,
you know, those little roly-polies. Mm. They would find those and eat a lot of those. But
so if I wanted a little chicken that was kept in a tiny little box and fed like really terrible diet, can I get that from you?
No, you cannot.
I can't.
Sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a softball question right there.
So your chickens are healthy, they're happy, they're free range, they're fed an organic diet. They're delicious.
Yeah, they're all natural. No hormones or preservatives. No antibiotics ever, of course. And they're fed a traditional broiler diet, raised on pasture, so they're never confined. I think that if you gave it a try versus if you're used to buying store-bought chicken, and don't get me wrong, there are many good brands in our store for the consumers to choose from now versus the traditional chicken that I won't mention any names that has a lot of yellow fat in it when you look at it in the store. Mm-hmm. Our chicken really... everybody says it tastes like chicken, that there is a definitive taste to it that maybe people in the older generation who had a lot of homegrown, home-harvested chicken say, this chicken tastes like what it's supposed to.
Right. I think, for our consumers and longtime residents and longtime listeners, of course, as we have a lot of those, the North Bay and particularly Sonoma County has a long history of poultry processing,
absolutely,
poultry raising. So people who are here tend to know what a real chicken might taste like. Where I grew up in Southern California, we didn't have poultry farms nearby. And so chicken was just sort of bland. And I remember moving up here and trying some local chickens and thinking, wow, this has flavor. This is really amazing.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I mean, we're lucky here to have that.
You've definitely ruined us for other chickens. My girlfriend and I were very hungry, and we wanted to get a lot of protein, and so we went to a very expensive grocery store, which shall remain nameless, and bought a big chicken after eating yours, and it just was very unsatisfying, so we had to ended up turning it into soup. We didn't have one of yours in the freezer, and we were too tired to cook it anyways. But yeah, it's an amazing, amazing bird. And is another way to save money. One thing that I like to do when I do cook, which is not that often, is if I'm cooking a whole chicken, is make stock out of the chicken carcass. So is that something that you recommend? Or
I do recommend it. The trend in stock and bone broth is very popular right now, for multiple reasons. It kind of has a a phase of coming and going and health benefits, but it's very kind of in the mainstream, again, if you will, for making homemade bone broth. And just like Kara said, you can use your carcass from your chicken, but we also sell chicken feet, which I know sound a little bit unpleasant.
No, I was going to ask about this. Feet and necks, what do we do with them?
Correct. Yeah. We also sell chicken necks, and the most popular product that we sell them to make is bone broth or stock. And so most people buy like a pound of necks, a pound of feet, and maybe have a carcass left in their freezer. Roast the feet and necks if you'd like first with just olive oil, maybe salt and pepper. Or you can put them in your stock pot, crock pot, pressure cooker, whatever your favorite method to make stock and broth is directly. And all your veggies, whatever your flavor profile you want, and cook it all up and then strain it. And if you've used those chicken feet, you'll get a very high collagen content. They're very gelatinous, and the collagen is really good, has a lot of nice health benefits to it. So we sell the chicken feet and the chicken neck in 1 pound packages. We can have them larger as well. Some people like to make large vats of stock and bone broth. But I strongly recommend using your whole chicken, all your meat, picking it off, freezing your carcass if you don't have a chance to make stock right away, and then using that carcass along with some feet and necks. The necks really give it a deep flavor profile of chicken because it is that dark meat again. That's why a lot of people like to use the necks because, again, you get a little bit more depth of chicken flavor in the broth from the neck.
And nothing makes your house smell good like a chicken broth simmering on the stove. We have them at my house all the time. I love that smell.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, if it ever cools down to be soup weather, I'm like, come on.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Right. Yeah, one of the favorite things in our house to do is, cook chicken and then make stock. Soup and stock. And, it's a lovely, lovely smell.
And that's probably going to be on a lot of people's agendas after Thanksgiving with the turkey and all those leftovers, making a good soup is always a good way.
So the chickens that you sell at the market, are they only sold whole? I don't know.
Correct.
If you said that. Okay.
Yes. I only sell whole chickens currently. It is a goal of ours to move into parts. And to be quite honest, it's simply just a processing hiccup that we're trying to move past. It's very costly for me as the farmer to get the chickens broke down into parts.
Sure.
And I want to be able to sell chicken. I don't want to have to outprice it that nobody can afford it. That's not the goal. We would like to make fresh, local family farmed, homegrown food at an affordable price for all consumers. So currently we do the whole chickens because we can pass it along to the consumer at a value price.
But Greg, it's not too hard, and just you can probably say this too. Is there an easy way over the radio that we could explain how to break down a chicken? It's not too difficult.
It's not that hard. Maybe it's difficult over the radio, but it just takes practice too. It's and I think just don't be afraid of doing it. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. But
or maybe one
having
of the
a sharp knife, right? That was what I remember
knife.
From
we had,
our Napa knives guy.
We had Dan on a couple weeks ago talking about a sharp knife. There's so many. I would recommend going on YouTube and watching just a video on how to break down a chicken, and it's really simple. And then once poultry, it's pretty much all the same. The bone structure is pretty much the same. So, a Cornish hen or a chicken or a duck or a turkey, it's just a matter of size. Duck's a little bit different. It's a longer, narrower body structure, but it's a simple process. So having a good knife, don't be afraid of it. And if you cut through the breast, it's no big deal. Just keep trying it. But watch a YouTube video, and you could save a lot of money. My wife, for instance, she's not a butcher she's a good cook, but she's afraid of butchery. And so she would always go to the grocery store and she'd buy boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And I'm thinking, for like $9, $10, $11 a pound, it's like
it's cheaper to just do it yourself. Yes.
It's chicken. It's not filet mignon. Come on. And so, you get the whole one. Then in our family, for instance, I like dark meat. She likes white meat. So it's perfect.
That's a good combo.
Get a whole chicken. I get the leg and thigh. She gets the breast. And then you have the bones, the skeleton, to make the stock out of. So you get sort of a little which first makes the house taste smell good, and then you can make soup with that or, whatever you do with the stock. We freeze it, and when we make steamed rice, we instead of using water, we use the chicken broth. I mean, the broth is such an important part of cooking, and having a good broth is really critical. The French call broth or stock fond, which translates to foundation, and because the French knew that stock is so important in cooking that it's the foundation of the cuisine. So in French, it would be a chicken fond or a beef fond, or it would be boeuf fond. But
and a lot of people will be using that for Thanksgiving,
right?
Their Thanksgiving meal.
So you can be really fancy. You can make a Cornish game hen fond.
There you go.
How about that?
And stock is really easy to keep. You can freeze it, so don't be afraid that you think, "Oh, I'm going to make so much of it. What am I going to do with it?" Making a big batch is good as long as you have the availability to freeze it. It will stay for a long time, right. So you shouldn't be afraid to make a big batch of stock and use it for anything, you know, rice, quinoa in your pasta water, flavor whatever dish you'd like to flavor with it.
Yeah, and you can actually use different size Tupperwares, so you, if you know you're going to use X amount of stock for a big soup or for a little bit, you could even freeze it into ice cube trays.
Yeah, a lot of people use ice cube trays, and then when they're frozen, they'll break them out, and then they'll bag them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're doing a recipe and you need just four or five or six little cubes, you have this little, you know, flavor boost, and you could actually, after you make the stock and you've strained it, then you could reduce it down to sort of concentrate the flavor more. And it's a great thing to have on hand. It makes everything you cook taste better to have really good stock.
So Jess, tell us, are you selling the birds frozen or fresh? I believe they're frozen, correct?
I sell both.
You sell both. Okay.
Yes. So my kind of my schedule for selling fresh and frozen, after the chicken is harvested and ready for sale in its package, I then can sell it fresh for 7 to 10 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So typically twice a month, I try to have fresh chicken after harvesting it. And then after it's, you know, I have to freeze it after that 7 days, then I have frozen available. But our chicken is typically, some people get leery when I say frozen chicken, and it's kind of this, you know, negativity around chicken or meat in general, like previously frozen, fresh, but previously frozen. It's like a dark cloud sometimes.
Sure.
But our chicken is fresh and then frozen only. We never re-thaw it to make it fresh previously frozen. And we only have chicken typically for a stock, quantity in the freezer for about 3 weeks before our next batch is ready. So we like to call it a fresh frozen because we're typically selling out of chicken in between each batch we process.
Perfect.
But on that note, quickly, in my humble opinion and feedback I've gotten from a lot of customers, the taste difference between a fresh chicken and a fresh frozen chicken is very little. It's when you get meat that could be stored in your freezer. Even storing meat in your freezer for 6 months, as long as it's in its original packaging with no punctures, you know, where air can get in to cause, you know, frost
damage.
Burn. Yeah. I mean, up to a year. But once you start getting that peak of a year in your freezer, you definitely might taste a difference in the, you know, the texture and taste of the meat. But
who are these people that have meat in their freezer for a year? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, we have gone that long just because we've purchased a whole animal something. You know, like in that case. Like
for that big of a
freezer, so. You know, we purchase an animal, then we might have it for longer. But
so, yeah, we have fresh chicken and frozen available. Just kind of depends when you hit us at the market, depending on when we have processed last, harvested the birds.
And so how should it be thawed? Like if we buy one of your frozen birds, what's the process?
Yeah, so two safe methods of defrosting a chicken are putting it in the refrigerator and keeping it in there. Depending on the size of your chicken, it would take maybe a day, up to 3 days. Again, talking about a large bird. The second method is to, again, leave it in its original packaging and put it in cold water, either in a bowl or in your kitchen sink, and submerge it in that cold water. Give it a flip if possible. And that will only take any size bird really a couple hours. If you have a small game hen or a small 2, 2.5 pound bird, it might only take up to an hour and a half. But cold water only, again, original package always. It's typically once you open the package, the original package, And then the air is allowed to get in there. The temperature fluctuates a lot. That's when you have problems, food safety problems with chickens. Sure. So as long as you defrost it in a cool environment, again, package sealed, you should be safe.
Wonderful. All great.
Thank you for
tips.
That public health service announcement.
You're so welcome. Anything no, I can do.
Well, Jess, thank you so much for coming on the show. You are such a wonderful, wonderful part of our market. We're really blessed to have your fresh meat there. And really quickly, too, because I don't know that we necessarily talked about every single product you sell. Do you want to touch on that really quickly before you go?
Yes. So just in a nutshell, we sell, again, whole chickens. We have what's called the offal parts, that is necks, feet, livers, and gizzards. Livers are very popular. They're super high in iron, and we sell a lot of them at the farmer's market. A few things on a quick note before we leave. If you check out our Facebook page at A4 Farms Pasture Raised Poultry, we have a couple tips. We have one on how to break down a whole chicken, the simplest way. It's kind of
there
the
you go.
How to break down a whole chicken for dummies, if you will. It's very simple. You guys, don't be afraid. Also, some on making stock. And one other nice post I did about making chicken soup from all of our vendors' products at the farmer's market.
Wow.
So we've got chicken, we've got, of course, all your vegetables, and we've got noodles, if you like noodles, in your chicken noodle soup from Pasta Poetry.
Wow. Oh, so, we're going to have to share that on
sure.
our
we'll
Facebook.
We'll share that on our
Facebook.
So
don't be afraid to go to the market and get all of your needs for making something like chicken stock or chicken soup. And I truly appreciate the opportunity to sell at the Napa Farmers Market. I have great customers there who have supported me from day one.
Aww.
And thanks for you guys to you guys for having yeah. me on as well.
Thank you for being part of our market.
That's yes. right. Yes. We love you. We love Thanks. Your chicken.
Thank you so much.
Bok had to stay home today because Bok Bok Choi was going to be a little intimidated with
sure.
your conversation.
Yeah. Talking about harvesting chickens might not be his favorite.
Processing isn't his favorite
no.
word.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. So we are going to come back shortly and we will have Chef Albert Rivera and his wife, Chef Zachlyn Rivera of Sweet Pea Bake Shop here to tell us a little bit about baked goodies. All right. Stay tuned. More to come.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that, too. Come see the experts in agriculture. American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour. You are listening to us courtesy of American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. And we are now joined in studio by Chef Albert and Chef Zachlyn Rivera.
Yay.
The Riveras.
A couple of our favorite bakers from the market.
Yes.
And, thank you.
Yeah, you guys do great work.
Absolutely. So we understand you have been in Napa Valley for quite some time. But before we get into your business specifically, tell us a little bit about your backgrounds. I know Chef Cole was talking about it a little bit earlier, but you tell us where you come from.
Well, I grew up in the East Bay in San Leandro, and I went to school at the California Culinary Academy in San Francisco. And I've had several jobs, you know, after that. And Albert and I met at a restaurant in Palo Alto. And then we decided to move out here. And so we've been working. We worked at the Carneros Resort both for 5-6 years. And when we left there is when we decided to start Sweet Pea.
Awesome. Awesome. And I can't even see you over there. Hey, Chef Albert.
Hey, Albert.
Lean on in. I've got a computer screen blocking him from my view. But how about you? What's your culinary background?
So for me, I went to a school in a CIA Greystone to pursue the savory side of cooking. And before Sweet Pea Bake Shop, I was the head chef at Boone Fly Cafe at the Carnegie Resort as well.
Yummy. Yes, we were talking about the Benedict there. And I found out from Chef Greg that they use the sweet pea egg muffin, right? That's right?
English muffin with eggs on it.
Yes, English muffin. Sorry, I was thinking eggs, ham, hollandaise sauce, It's just so delicious. It's one of my favorites.
for Boomfly, they get our English muffin and our bagels. So.
Oh, very cool.
And I dare ask what's in the box? Because
yes,
it looks like some treats were
brought
our way.
You guys made my dreams come true.
Oh,
I see a Queen Amin.
Oh my goodness. So we're looking at this delectable box of sweet goodies. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's inside there?
We brought a couple of our Queen Amans. Those are one of our newest pastries that we do for the Napa Market. We have some mini danishes.
I'm going to eat this, by the
way. I'm so jealous right now.
You're going to eat that on Facebook Live?
I am. Wow. Look at this, you guys. It's amazing.
I ate one last night after I baked them, and they're really good. We have our mini Pop-Tarts, which are one of our most popular at the markets.
Ooh,
and
that
everywhere.
Looks amazing.
Pop-Tart.
They're blueberry right now. We're going to switch it over to an apple one, which we're actually going to do a large apple version for Thanksgiving. And our new, it's a mini chocolate croissant. So it's a layer of chocolate croissant dough and original with a chocolate inside.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to crunch into one of those shortly. I won't do it yet. But so you're now in a new space. But before we get to that, tell us why you decided to start a bakery. I mean, you have both diverse. I mean, obviously, you have a baking background, but, you know.
I grew up baking ever since I was little, and I went to college for 2 years, and then I realized that that wasn't for me. And ever since I was little, I grew up, you know, baking, doing sugar cookies and everything with my mom. And I just, after, you know, had this in my head, my mom telling me that you should own a bakery, you should, this is what you should be doing. And so, after working for, you know, many years in different restaurants, and we just decided it's time to do it for ourselves and do what we want to do. And we noticed that in Napa and Sonoma, there's not anything like what we do. Everything is pretty old school. And so we wanted to, you know, bring new product and different flavors and new techniques in. And we, you know, first tried it at the market to see how the feedback would go. And it's gone pretty well. So we decided to keep going.
I think you have six thumbs up in here.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm trying not to drool. Actually, yeah. I'm looking at the plate. So, are any of your products gluten free?
We do have a couple, and we are working now that we are expanding and getting into a new kitchen. We want to expand that because we don't do too much to begin with. We have a gluten free like pumpkin bread right now, and we just got a new gluten free flour that actually works a lot better than what we've used before. So we're starting to play around more now that we have more space to do so.
Well, and I think I saw something. Do you do like a cranberry bread of some kind too? Because again, this is the Thanksgiving show.
Yeah,
so, you know.
it's a pumpkin cranberry bread. Fresh cranberries, pumpkin seeds inside, and it's really like you can't even tell it's gluten-free.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
I'm eating a lot of gluten right now, and it's delicious. So this is the Queen Amin, which is spelled kind of weird. And I was walked over to Sweet Pea, and I wanted to try something. And Josiah, actually, from Freshway Fish, was like, you have to try this. And he was right. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about this? Because I've already eaten about three quarters of it. And there's another one that I'm looking at.
And
so
everyone on Facebook has watched you eat it as well. So they're drooling, too.
Yeah, so it's similar to a croissant dough. It's a little bit different, but it doesn't have any sugar in the dough. The difference is the last two folds. You put sugar in between the layer, fold the dough, roll it out, put another layer of sugar, roll it out, and then you line the muffin cup or whatever mold you're baking it in, and more sugar.
I'm seeing all that caramelization.
It's really amazing.
It's all like crunchy on the outside.
See how shiny it is, Facebook?
Buttery and sugary in the middle. And I just did one for the last market we did that has peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh my gosh.
Which that was a... turned out really good. So we're going to be doing that one again soon.
Wow. And so where do you source your ingredients for your baked treats?
We do as much local as possible. So we just started using Central Milling Flour over in Petaluma, which you have to go today. Our dairy, we just switched to Challenge. And all of our produce, we try and get as much as possible from the farmer's market. We've been absent for a little while, so we've been having to source elsewhere when we can't make it to the market. But we try and go local as possible. And we're starting a new shop, so we're doing coffee from a local place, too. So
I love hearing that. We've heard that several times today and, and other times that our vendors are all supporting each other. It's that great sense of community that you all have, and it's really cool that you're sourcing each other's ingredients. Yeah.
So do you have a retail establishment now, or you're
we're working on it. So we're slated for a December 1st opening,
and we'll be in Napa County or Sonoma County.
Sonoma County. Yeah, I know. We're
that's all right.
We like a little sad.
We like Sonoma. We like Sonoma County too.
Jess is from Sonoma County, so yeah.
I mean, we found a really good opportunity for a place that was for sale, and it just made sense. You know, Napa's very expensive, and it fit our budget, and it fit. It's a bakery that already had equipment and everything in it. So
is it in Sonoma or is it somewhere?
It's in Sonoma.
Sonoma Town is what we're meaning.
Sonoma Town.
That's not too far.
It's not Santa Rosa. Easy 20-minute drive. No biggie.
It's not too far. It's not far off the square. So it's on West Napa Street. We've been posting a little bit about it, but we're aiming for a December 1st opening.
That's great.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so as people are getting ready with Thanksgiving, tell us some of the things that you're going to have available that might be good for that time frame that you'll be selling at the market.
So we've been a little late on the Thanksgiving video because we've been so busy with the opening. But we're, you know, going to have our classic pumpkin pie and our chocolate pecan pie, which went over really well last year. And we have one that's actually a combo of pumpkin and pecan. So it's a layer of pumpkin or a layer of pecan pie on the bottom with a layer of pumpkin baked on top. So combine the two of them.
Drool.
And instead of an apple pie, we're doing a large version of our apple Pop-Tart. Because we did that for a couple
things. Those
are things.
So fun.
Yeah, we did those for a couple of things recently, and they went over really well.
You did a great one for 4th of July, I remember. That was this, like, massive flag or something with a bursting, you know, firework
Albert did
design.
That one. He's nice work, Albert. He's a large Pop-Tart maker.
now, Albert had said something, because actually I came over, again, so clearly you can see I like Sweet Pea Bake Shop, because I do stop by quite often at the market.
She's well-versed in the product.
And I said, hey, you know what? You guys should try to make a s'mores Pop-Tart. And Albert said that you would be working on one, but I still haven't seen it yet. Is that still in the works?
It is. Definitely is.
It's a product development right now.
If you need a taste tester,
I'll have them bring one. Yeah, we're definitely, when we open the cafe, we're definitely going to have like a couple different Pop-Tart flavors each day. So our most popular is blueberry. So, you know, we have to keep it. But we want to do a, you know, change it up. So we'll do s'mores and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Very exciting. One of the things I think with our market, we do all kinds of amazing things, of course, at the Napa Farmers Market.
All the time.
But
it's,
I think, for the manager or the board of the market, and not just myself, but boards years past, watching vendors who start out as one of our vendors with a stall in the back of a pickup truck or a van, eventually working up to having a brick and mortar place. So they're, you know, it's such a great incubator for businesses, and so you'll be one of our success stories.
That's right.
That'll be so exciting.
I love that. That is exciting.
And we also thank you for coming and being a part of our chef demos. That's always wonderful.
Amazing demo.
When we have our own vendors come up on stage too.
Yeah.
Those are so fun. We really like doing that.
Well, and so your son is three?
Two and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Two and a half going on three.
Yeah.
He's the same age as the bakery.
That's a great idea.
That's,
you know,
pretty cool.
Whenever we opened a restaurant, we had a child. So
that's not the
nice thing about it is when people say, well, like, how old is Cole's Chop House? And I think back, okay, so Larson's 18. Cole's Chop House is 18.
Okay. So I have a sourdough starter that we use for our English muffins, and it's the same age, too.
So we mentioned that Boonfly uses your amazing English muffins in their Benedict, but do you have any other wholesale accounts like that where people might be enjoying your product and not even knowing it?
We have stuff at Oakville Grocery.
Okay.
We do stuff for Latoque, which they serve. We do like mini pastries for them, breakfast pastries for the Westin. They also use our English muffins and bagels over there. We just started Mount View Inn in Calistoga, which is also an everyday account. So we're getting busier and busier.
Yeah. That's great.
Very nice.
So for Thanksgiving, and you mentioned your pies and things, are people only going to be able to make those at the buy those at the market, or do they place advanced orders with you for things even like croissants or, you know?
Yeah, whatever. We can do orders beforehand. We're going to post something about it today because we've been very busy. But we actually just decided before we came in here because we've missed the market due to, you know, the shop.
We've missed you.
Yes. Kara May especially.
Yes, me especially. I don't know about everybody else.
No, Albert just emailed Charlotte that, you know, about doing it on the last Tuesday before the market to pick up pies because, you know, the shop won't be open yet. And it's a little farther for people to go pick them up. So, you know, we want to get back there. So we'll do that.
Right. That's a good point. Our last Tuesday market is going to be on November 20th, which is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So it's a perfect opportunity for you to come down to Napa Farmers Market and get all of your holiday shopping done, pick up what you need from Sweet Pea Bake Shop and everything else.
Get your chicken or your Cornish game hen, vegetables.
And that'll be the last Tuesday market for the season.
Correct.
But Saturdays. Saturdays forever.
Yay!
You're welcome.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's throw out a couple of tips for people since we got some professionals here. How to get the perfect pie crust. What are your recommendations to our listeners?
Lots of things for that one. One is to not overwork the dough because you don't want it to be tough. So a lot of like chilling time and resting time. After you mix the dough, let it chill. After you roll it out, when you put it in the pie pan, you don't want to like stretch it too much because if you stretch it when you bake it, it's going to shrink. Mm-hmm. And depending on what kind of pie you're making, par baking it beforehand. You know, if it's a baked filling, then you don't have to, but you know, custard pies and that kind of stuff, par baking it with you know, beans. A lot of people use like beans or something, you know, line the pie
like,
shelf,
like in the bottom. Correct?
Yeah, fill it so it weights it
dry
down.
Beans, that
yeah,
is.
Dry beans.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what?
Dry beans, rice, you can all like dried rice you can also use just to weight down so it does it. And then the last few minutes, take it out to evenly brown the bottom.
Do you have a secret ingredient you put in your pie dough? Something weird?
I don't.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people.
Some people have weird things. Like one of our bake shops at the market, she uses vodka in her.
I've heard that.
Really?
In her pie crust. Yeah.
I've never heard of such.
And
a thing.
Then my mom, who made great pies her whole life, always put a little bit of vinegar in the dough and replace some of the water, ice water, with vinegar.
I've heard that too. Like mine, a lot of people think our Pop Tarts is made with the pie dough. A lot of people think it's like puff pastry, but it's just the pie dough.
So that's another question. Do you have a preferred lard? Meaning, you know, do you use like Crisco? Do you use butter?
We use butter, and all the butter we use, it's a European style. So it's like higher fat content. It's like 83%. So we use the same butter in our croissants and everything. So we use high quality butter.
That's awesome.
Higher fat, higher flavor.
That's right.
So what about if someone wants to substitute? Like, can you easily, when you're baking something, substitute whole wheat flour for all-purpose flour or vice versa?
Ratios are going to be a little different because they are going to act differently, especially when you start using like the gluten-free flours and stuff. So gluten-free flours also have different additives like xanthan gum and stuff like that. Mm. So those you kind of have to read. Each one's a little different. The, you know, package will have, you know, more info on that. Even I still play around with it because, you know, too much whole wheat flour, you'll kind of get like a denser product versus, you know, the AP or pastry flour, you know, or softer flour. So playing around with it. If you have a recipe, I'd suggest just like changing a little bit at a time and just seeing how it goes. And yeah.
Wonderful.
So you're a California Culinary Academy grad. Albert's a Culinary Institute of America grad. Are there arguments at home?
Like, throw down.
Rivalries. Like I can bake better than you can.
CCA versus CIA arguments. Of course, the CCA sadly has closed, so the CIA has that going for it, perhaps. But... Both good programs, no doubt.
I think Not really, just because we both did, so he did savory and I did sweet.
Right.
So they're both different programs.
Yeah.
So I think we haven't really gone into that.
You haven't budged yet.
Yeah. Greg's just here starting stuff.
Well, yeah, I went to the CIA in New York.
Stirring the pot.
And we had, our school had a hockey team, and we used to play Johnson and Wales.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, which was like another culinary school in Rhode Island in Providence. And so we would have like a rivalry. It's weird to have a rivalry in culinary school.
Yeah.
It's not like Ohio
State. Throwing pies at each other.
Yeah, Ohio State, Michigan, CIA, Johnson and Wales rivalry. It's one of those classics. It's a little bit different. But
Yeah. You
guys don't argue about that. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio. We really appreciate you being here and part of the market.
And bringing treats.
You are actually officially the first vendor to bring us treats in studio.
I think so.
Derek's coffee is definitely a treat, but it's a different kind of
coffee. Especially, when we start this hour, we need the coffee.
That's right.
But so before we let you go, I have another joke. Of course I do, for you. So what do you get if you divide the circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter?
I don't know.
Pumpkin pie! There we go. We get pumpkin pie.
All right.
We will be back shortly with more.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Contact Todd and the commercial vans team at Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield, 707-430-0273.
Welcome back to Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Well, that was really fun.
That was fun. These hours go by so quickly.
Oh my gosh, they fly by, today especially. Okay, we're going to have to go soon. I'm sad to say that. But Kara Mae, why don't you recap for us on the Give Guide?
That's right. So Napa Farmers Market, we are in the Napa Valley Give Guide, and we are raising money for our CalFresh Market Match Program, which doubles the amount low-income CalFresh families can spend on nutritious market fresh produce. Folks are asked to go to nvgiveguide.org and donate starting at $10, and 100% of your donation to the Napa Farmers Market is going to help families get nutritious, healthy food in their pockets. So that's what we have going on with the Give Guide. We've got $440 raised so far, thanks to 6 generous donors, and we have until December 31st to try to get as much money as we can to make sure people in need of food are having their budgets doubled.
And that's awesome. So thank you to anyone who's donated already, and we look forward to seeing more donations.
That's right.
Really quickly, too, we've got another awesome event
that's
happening
right
at the market. So
it's
real
non-stop.
Quick.
Really quick, we have our first ever holiday bazaar on Saturday, November 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Napa Farmers Market. And this just in, we are having an ugly Christmas sweater contest at 10 a.m.
Wow. I'm so excited.
Contest stage.
I have an ugly Christmas sweater vest ready for this occasion.
So
I am so excited.
Check us out on NapaFarmersMarket.org and on Facebook for more info.
All right, okay. Awesome. Greg, do you want to touch on any upcoming chef demos?
This Saturday, Terry Letson from Fume Bistro will be doing his third and final demonstration of the season. And then the following Saturday, Morgan Robinson from Smoke Catering and Southside will be doing a demo to
nice.
Kind of
They're
cap
gonna be
off our
new
year.
Neighbors
They'll
soon.
Be our new neighbors as well.
Very
Morgan
cool.
and his wife Irma are opening a restaurant in the South Tampa marketplace. So lots of good things happening.
Awesome. Well, and once again, we want to thank all of you for listening. You make this show more fun. And we want to thank American Ag Credit,
Money for Agriculture,
for being our kind sponsor. So next week, more on the Holiday Bazaar. We'll see you then.
See you later, Napa. See you at the market.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.